Welcome to my daily teaching video. Great to have you here with me. Hey, for this week, I'm going to be teaching from my new book, The Promise, and I'm going to be teaching all week long about how to grow your faith. Really great and subject I'm really passionate about. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Let me do three quick announcements. First, if you are new on my channel, please check out my ministry. Links below. Hit the YouTube subscribe button. Thank you to all of the over 1 million subscribers now to our channel. Number two, I want to say a big thanks to all of the partners in my ministry. You know who you are. We love and appreciate you. If you'd like to become a partner, details below. And lastly, I have a brand new book out called The Promise, all about how to build a promise-filled life and live in and from the promises of God. It's available right now on Amazon as a Kindle or a paperback, and there'll be a link below. Really encourage you to get a copy of this and follow along. Right, let's jump into this.
Hey guys,
welcome to day three of my weekly teaching, daily weekly teaching. This week I'm talking all about how to grow your faith. And in a moment I'm going to talk about what happens when your faith is on trial. James talks about the trial of your faith. And I think we're all going to face this at times. You are, I am, you have, I have. And we both will do again. The key is knowing how to react and respond appropriately when our faith is on trial. Let me read a verse I've been reading every day this week. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "We're bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. The love of every one of you abounds one towards another." And my basic premise this week is God wants your faith to grow. God loves you. He loves that you have the faith you have, but he doesn't want to leave you where you are. It's vital that we're moving. It's vital we're always upgrading. It's vital that we're always moving on in our experience with God. You can't live today in 2025. You can't live with the same relationship you had with God in 1995. Yeah? In 1995, I was living in the city of Lyon, France, where I am today. I remember Windows 95 came out, and everybody was so excited, the latest, greatest technology. If you were to go and look at Windows 95 right now, it is clunky, it is embarrassing. My kids would laugh if I put that on there, and at the time, it seemed great. Now, of course, God never changes, but we change. My point is we've got to grow and move forward, and at times we make the mistake of trying to live off the revelation and the level of faith we had years ago. It's time to grow your faith. So let's talk about the trial of our faith. Your faith can and will at times be put on trial. What does that mean? I mean, for every one of us, there will be times and experiences where we believe something in God's word and it doesn't seem to happen in our life. There will be times when we see something, maybe God is your healer, and then you see sickness in your body, and what do you do with that reality? There'll be times when you pray or you activate and try to engage your faith with the promises of God, and it doesn't seem to work. Hello? Come on, I want to encourage you, if that's been the case for you, maybe you're watching this video today and that is the case for you, I've got some really great news. Everybody's going to go through those moments. It's not strange. We shouldn't consider it wonderful, weird, or bizarre. I think, on the contrary, we should actually learn to embrace those moments. Because what happens is if your faith is put on trial and tested, you come through there, it'll usually not be put on trial in the same way again. Possibly once or twice, but usually you break through and you come to a place where, at least in that domain, your faith won't be tested there again. It's like you've got real estate in the spirit. Yeah? You know, it's interesting. I mean, here in Lyon, about 2 or 3 years ago, I did a test here. I was applying for French citizenship and I had to do a spoken and written French test. And I tell you, it was actually really hard. Now, I've been speaking French for many years, lived here, own a home here, my wife is French, but I've never taken any French exam. I had to write a paper in French. My written French is not that good. And, you know, I really had to prepare for this, and I passed it, just. And here's the great thing, though. I don't need to pass it every day. once it's done, it's done. When I've got that qualification, I've got it. When I pass my driver's license, I passed. I don't have to do it every morning before I can drive down to the gym. And I tell you, it's a good thing when you go through the trial of your faith, because you won't have to probably go through it again, at least at that level. Let me read a scripture that's really powerful that will help us here. James chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it joy when you fall into various trials. I think the Amplified says temptations, testings, and trials. Verse 3, knowing this, not thinking, hoping, assuming, but knowing this, the trial of your faith, of the testing of your faith, produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you will be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men without reproach. It will be given to him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Boom. There's so much in that passage that it could take me quite a while to unpack. I might do this over 2 days, but come on, number one, you will go through trials. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be, oh, well, the devil's after me. I mean, the devil's always after you. I like to say there are two times Satan's after you, when you're in the will of God and when you're out of the will of God. That's just normal. Yeah, like a roaring lion, he will seek those whom he may devour. He's always there. That's not really an issue. The issue is to keep the shield of your faith up, which quenches A-double-L, all the fiery darts of the wicked one, Selah. So, that's not really your problem. Key number two, James says, when a trial begins, count it joy. Count it like a subject of joy when you fall into trials. Now, I'm glad there was no comment section in the epistles, because I would want to write to James and say, dude, are you crazy? Why would I rejoice when I'm going through a trial, a testing, temptation, things like that? Why on earth would I find that a subject of joy? And James goes on to say, the reason you find it a subject of joy is you need to know this. Don't assume it. You really need to know this, guys. The trying of your faith produces patience, or endurance would be a better word in our modern language. And then he says, let patience do its job, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Just a quick note, the word perfect there, it doesn't actually refer to perfect in the sense of you'll never ever sin once again in your entire life. Perfect means mature, complete and lacking nothing. So here's what James is saying. James is saying, when your faith is on trial concerning a particular subject, count it as a subject of joy. Why? Because the end result, if you'll allow God to do what he wants to do, is you will be perfect and mature. You will be whole and complete, and you will lack nothing. So if somebody comes to you and says, it's God's will that we go through trials. Well, yes and no. It's God's will that we go through trials. It's not God's will that we park in the midst of trials. There is a difference. Notice, it's God's will we go through trials and we come out the other side perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Selah. That's the point we've actually got to grasp and understand here. Now, let's unpack this. What's actually going on? I'm going to come backwards a little bit, but in verse 8, James speaks about this double-minded. He says, when we're asking God, let's ask in faith with no wavering, no doubting. He who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That man will not receive anything from the Lord. That's where most of us have been. Most of us try to use our faith and we don't receive anything from the Lord. And we kind of go, it's a mystery. We just don't understand why. I want to tell you, if you can read, you can understand why. So, what we've actually got to do is understand what's really going on here, because the Bible says it out really clearly. Verse 8 says, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And here's what's happening really in the midst of any trial, and I'm going to come back to this one tomorrow with more teaching on this. But in the midst of every trial, there's two things going on in our heart. We've got the Word of God, and we've got the word of Satan, or the doubt. We've got God saying, I am the Lord your healer. We've got Satan coming along saying, no, he isn't. We've got God saying, I am with you. We've got Satan saying, he's run out on you. You know, the Lord says to Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree. The day you eat, you'll die. Satan comes along and says, hath God said? And in every trial of our faith, we've got these two realities going on in our life. And again, I want to be honest and clear with you. The challenge for most of us is we've surrounded ourselves in 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of doubt. We've learned how the world works outside of God. We've closed off ourselves to the things of God. And what's happening in our heart is we are double-minded men. We're unstable in our faith and we don't receive from God. Yeah. Now, pause. Romans 8 verse 6 says to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And here's what I learned years ago that's really powerful. You move from carnal mindedness to spiritual mindedness, carnal mind, spiritual mind, through double-mindedness. So it's not actually bad, wrong, or incorrect, or it's not a bad thing that you're double-minded. It's a bad thing if you stay double-minded. And our goal when our faith is on trial is simply this, to eliminate the doubt, to let our faith grow. That's what we're talking about this week. To let our faith grow and then to let the doubts diminish and dissolve and come to the place where they are nothing. And I've seen this so many times in my heart. We could be at that place where our faith's 50%, our doubt is 50%. It's okay. Just let God do its work. If you let him do its work, your faith will go to 60, doubt 40, 70, 30, 80, 20, 90, 10, and you hit a place where you are, in the words of Romans 4, fully persuaded that what God has promised, he will also perform for you. That's the place where you know that 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 it's done. That's the place when somebody says to you, can I pray for you? And you're like, why? I've got it. I can't see it. Yeah, I know you can't see it. Faith, the evidence of things not seen. But I've got it. I absolutely have it in my faith. Guys, I've got to check out here, but we're going to be back tomorrow with more teaching on this. And part two of this with the trial of your faith. Bless you in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for watching this far. Again, I'll be back tomorrow with another video. We have over 1,500 videos on our YouTube channel. Do check out those, and I'd love to hear from you in person. Drop me a comment below. Let me know if I can pray for you, and I encourage you to pick up a copy of my new book, The Promise. That's my sleazy commercial. Have a great day wherever you're at, and keep in touch. Bye for now.